one of the keys to having that confidence, that strength in your Christian life here in this passage. So here in chapter 30, beginning in verse 15, the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. But you said, No, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill." So I've entitled the message, Quietness and Confidence. Let's pray. Lord, give us your presence tonight and use your word in our lives. As we have this privilege to open it together, we pray the Holy Ghost would just be able to speak to every one of us with the powerful word, and that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and magnified. Lord, we are grateful for this opportunity and give it to you. So meet with us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So God gave Israel the answer, and of course we see their response, verse 16, the big no. They said no. And those of us that are God's people, I hope you can say tonight, I'm God's people, I'm born again. God gives us the same solution here to the many problems and trials and tribulations that we face in life. But sometimes we say no. And when we do, it just means more trouble. But he says here in verse 15, "In returning and rest shall ye be saved." So it starts with this returning to the Lord. And he's speaking here primarily to backsliders who have drifted away from the Lord. And God is always waiting. Isn't that wonderful about our Lord? That he never says to his children, "I'm finished with you." If he gets to the point where we won't listen, he just kills us and takes us to heaven. The ultimate chastisement. Until that day comes, if you're still alive, I've heard Christians say, "Oh, I'm just too far away from God." And I say, if you're still alive, you're not too far away. God's not finished with you. God's waiting for you to return. Always. He's always willing to take us back. Keep your place here and look at Isaiah 55 and verse 7, where the Bible reminds us that our God is a very gracious and merciful God, and is always ready to accept when his children return. Notice 55 verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." Look what it says. "He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isn't that beautiful? Abundantly pardon. That's our God, waiting for his people to return. And he says there in our verse, and rest, returning and rest. How many Christians live in turmoil? They don't have to. There's always rest available for Christians who will rest in the Lord. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 11 that if we would come to him, we would find rest for our souls? Most of us know the verse, "Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." What does he mean there? I don't think he's only just talking about heaven, which is the ultimate final rest, but he's also letting us know that if we'll come to him and give our burdens to him, he'll give us that peace in our hearts. That's what the Bible says, right? "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Peace of God which passeth all understanding, and so forth. So God's always ready to take us back and return that rest to our souls, just like the hymn that was sung just now by the ladies. "It is well with my soul." Christians should be able to say that all the time. No matter what the trial is, no matter what's in your life, you should be able to claim that. Remember that verse we saw in chapter 26? Turn back there. I think A lot of you have this verse memorized, verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Perfect peace. And the world's looking for peace. They can't find it. And of course, there won't be world peace until the Prince of Peace comes and sets that up with his kingdom. But for Christians, peace is always available. This rest is always available if we'll just give it to the Lord. Now, he carries on in this passage, and this is where I'm heading tonight, verse 15 of Isaiah 30. And it's an interesting statement God makes here. He says, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And so we're told that if we'll return, we can have rest. But he says that if we come in quietness and confidence, that will be our strength. Now let's face it, we live in a very loud world. And it just keeps getting louder. There's just so much noise out there. And God's reminding us, reminding his people here, that quietness is a necessity. If we're going to have a right relationship with the Lord, if we're going to have the strength that we desire, there's got to be the quietness. And what do we mean by that? Well, let's look at some scriptures. Proverbs 17, we'll start there. Proverbs chapter 17, turn over there, verse 1. Now, this is from a practical point of view, but we're also going to look at it from the spiritual point of view. But notice Proverbs 17:1. "Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than an house full of sacrifices with strife." So from a practical standpoint, we'd all much rather have a quiet house than a non-quiet house. And, you know, if you have little children, sometimes that can be close to impossible. But God talks here about quietness. For us as his children, we need that quiet time with the Lord. Remember when Isaiah was running? Or not Isaiah, Elisha was running from God after he killed all the prophets and he went and hid in the cave. I mean, he killed 450 prophets and then he ran from one woman, Jezebel. So that shows you that she was a pretty tough girl. And he's hiding out in a cave. Basically, he's down and he's basically says, "I'm the only one left." And God had to remind him that he wasn't the only one left. But when God came to him, remember, there were all these things. There was the earthquake and there was the whirlwind and all of these things. But then the Bible finishes by saying God wasn't in any of those things. Where was God in the still small voice in 1 Kings 19? Now, God recorded that not just for information, but to teach us something. That God was there in that quiet time, the still small voice. Well, we can't hear a still small voice if it's noise all the time. We've got to have the quietness. We've got to have that time alone with the Lord, so that we can have that strength from the Lord. Go to Psalm 46 as another example, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10, where again we're reminded about the power of quietness for Christians. Notice Psalm 46, 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." What a simple verse. But think about what it's saying. Be still. What's God telling us? Stop. Have a quiet time. Be still. Get alone with me. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6? He says, "When you pray, enter into thy closet and pray in secret. And thy Father, which heareth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Again, Jesus reminding us, we've got to have the quietness. We've got to get alone with our Heavenly Father. God designed us for fellowship. And yet sometimes we don't offer Him the fellowship. That time alone. Just us and our Father. Habakkuk 2. Let's look at another example. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. Notice the Bible says here, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. That's how I end up getting there. I have to start at Daniel. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Look what it says. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Interesting. God isn't saying there, I want a bunch of noise. God's saying, I would prefer silence. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. And then again, from a practical point of view, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul reminds us about the power of quietness. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. I actually start in verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So what's the exhortation here in 1 Timothy 2? Pray. Who are we to pray for? All men. Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So God says that one of the results of having an effective prayer life is quietness. Quietness, that stillness, that quietness in our soul. Why? Because we're spending time alone with God, which He desires for us to do. And God said in this passage here in Isaiah 30 that quietness and confidence shall be your strength. You got to have both. So we need the quietness. We need that time alone with God. We need that to hear that still small voice. But you know what else we need? We need confidence. And this is where a lot of Christians are missing the mark. Because you'd be amazed how many Christians believe you can lose your salvation. If you believe you can lose your salvation, how can you have confidence? Confidence in what? Yourself? Your ability to maintain your salvation? Well, that isn't very much confidence. And I think what God is telling us here is that if we're going to have this deep-rooted strength in our Christian walk, it's got to start with quietness, our time alone with God, but it also, we must have this confidence. Because the Bible tells us, go over to Isaiah 32 and verse 17. Notice it says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, there it is again, and assurance forever. Assurance. Assurance and confidence are the same thing. Just a bit of Bible trivia, by the way. This word confidence in Isaiah 30, verse 15, it's the only occurrence of this Hebrew word in the Old Testament. One time it shows up, and it's God is saying, confidence shall be your strength. He tells us here in Isaiah 32 that the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance. Do you know how many Christians don't have assurance? And if you don't have assurance, you don't have strength. If you don't have confidence, you don't have strength. God gives us confidence. Now go to Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 26, if you would. Well, I hope it's Isaiah 3. It might be Proverbs 3. Let's see what happens here. I might have wrote down the wrong reference. No, it isn't Isaiah 3. It must be Proverbs 3. Sorry about that. Proverbs 3:26. Yep, it is. Proverbs 3:26. Know what it says. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You know, Christians are confident. Bible-believing Christians, because they know they're going to heaven. They know they're saved. Now, a lot of times, other Christians and even the world interprets that wrongly as arrogance. But it isn't arrogance, because we're wicked sinners. We're just going to heaven because God loved us enough to save us. But we have this assurance, we have this confidence of knowing that we're going to heaven because of what the Bible says. And because God promised us that we could have it. It's okay to be assured. It's okay to be confident of your salvation because you can't have strength in the Lord without it. You know, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We're safe in Jesus, right? He says we're safe in His hand. We're safe in the Father's hand. All that the Father giveth me, I will in no wise cast out. We could go on and on about all these great scriptures that teach us how safe we are. Go to Philippians 1 as an example of these verses that talk about this confidence, this assurance that we have in Jesus that leads to the strength that we need to face the trials of life. So look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I want you to see the word that Paul uses here in Philippians 1:6. Being confident, there it is again, confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's okay to have confidence as a Christian. God wants us to have confidence. But confidence in what God has done, confidence in what God will do, confidence that God will keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day. You see, Christians believe that they cannot lose their salvation, not because they believe they're better than other Christians or because they think they're good enough to keep it. Christians are confident that they're not going to lose their salvation because God's going to keep it. Amen? And God promised that we're secure in Him and preserved, for example, in Jude 1 and other verses. And that leads to strength. Let me show you an example. Go to John chapter 6. Now, early in Christ's ministry, the disciples were faced with a dilemma. And the dilemma was this. Most of the disciples of Jesus were abandoning ship here in John chapter 6. Now, John chapter 6 was where Jesus gave his long discourse on the bread of life. And of course, he was teaching them a spiritual truth, but they were trying to take it literally and they were getting all confused about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And now we have a billion people that are still confused about eating his flesh and drinking his blood every Sunday, called transubstantiation. So obviously they didn't get it. But notice after this discourse, verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now, I know I mentioned this recently, but it isn't interesting that Jesus didn't say, would you guys please stay? Please don't leave like everyone else is leaving. He said, you guys want to go too? Because I know it was a hard saying. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. See that word sure? We're sure. Now, Peter wasn't sure enough to not deny the Lord later. But he said, we know, Lord. We're confident that we have found the Messiah. We're confident we have found you. And that you're the one, and that we're safe in you. And they took that confidence, and you read the book of Acts, what happened? They turned the world upside down for Christ. Because they knew they had found the answer, Jesus. And they knew they were safe in Him. And as Peter declared here, we are sure that Thou art the Christ. We're sure that Thou art the Son of God. We know. And we're confident in that. And what came from that was a strength. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Why? Why should the righteous be bold? Because they have confidence that they've believed in the Savior. They have confidence that God has saved them. They have confidence that Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see what happens? When you have the quietness and the confidence, you have the strength. And so many Christians don't have it. But Peter made this bold declaration and became one of the greatest preachers ever in history. 3,000 people saved in one day. When the Israelites were told to go into the promised land, they sent in 12 spies. And when the spies came back, what happened? And by the way, you don't find in the Bible where God told them to send the spies in. That was their idea. But anyway, they came back, and 10 of the spies said, there's giants, and there's walled cities. And one of the spies made a statement. He says, and we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. How does he know what they think? He's giving his perspective. To them, we're like grasshoppers. We're just these little tiny people. How can we go in and take the promised land when there's giants there and we're just grasshoppers in comparison? Not much confidence there in the Lord and in His ability to protect them. Now, of course, Joshua and Caleb said, who cares if there's giants? Let's go. God's told us it's our land. He said He's going to give it to us. God will fight for us. Let's go in. And then they had to wait 40 years before they got to go in because everybody else had to wander and die. Instead, they should have been bold. Say, God's on our side. This is what God wants. Let's go. You see the difference between confidence and not confidence? You're going to move forward and accomplish things for God or you're not. And I think that's what God was trying to tell Israel here. You don't have what you need. You don't have the quietness. You don't have the confidence. So you don't have the strength. And their answer, of course, here in verse 16 of Isaiah 30. But ye said no. Wow, what a statement in God's word. God says, I'm offering you strength. I'm offering you what you need to be effective servants of mine. And they said, no. For we will flee upon horses. What are they saying? We're going to trust the horse instead of God. Because horses are strong and powerful. Well, God is more powerful and stronger. They said, we're going to trust the horses and we're going to ride upon the swift. And God says, they that pursue you shall be swift. God says, verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on an hill. What is he saying to them? Seeking your own answers and your own solutions is not going to work. You're not going to have the strength. You're going to flee like Israel thought they would when they thought they were grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. They didn't have confidence. So I hope that tonight each of us can say, I have the strength of the Lord because I have quietness. I spend time with my God. You know, David said, evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. David believed in the importance of having a quiet time. Jesus believed in it. He even called it a closet. We've got to have the quietness. But then we also have to have the confidence. If the devil's making us doubt our faith, if the devil's making us doubt our standing in the Lord, if the devil's making us doubt that God can work miracles in our lives, our confidence isn't there, and therefore we will not have the strength to accomplish great things for God. And I believe God wants all of us to accomplish great things through Him. But we've got to have both. We've got to have the quietness. We've got to have the confidence. God will give us the rest, and God will give us the strength. And great things will happen. Praise the Lord. So, a simple passage, but a very profound truth, really. And Lord willing, we can all make sure that we're implementing it in our Christian walk. Let's pray.